Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, I'm Rohit from LifeSelfMastery.com, and today we have Tom Corley, who is the author of Amazon number one best-selling book, Rich Habits, The Daily Success Habits of Wealthy Individuals, and who also blogs at richhabits.net. Tom is a CPA, CFP, and holds a master's degree in taxation. Tom is an internationally recognized authority on habits and wealth creation. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me on your show, Rohit. I appreciate it.
Can you please share your journey and why you started researching on your rich people and their habits?
I was born and raised until the age of 9 into a very wealthy family. My dad was a very successful entrepreneur. He owned the distribution channel for tools along the northeast of the United States. And his partner, his business partner, died at a very young age. He was 39. He was in charge of sales, his business partner. So my dad then knew he wasn't an expert in sales or that part of the business. So he sold the business at the time for about $4 million. Which was about $20 million in today's dollars. And he received the first payment, first installment, and didn't receive the second and the third installment. So the business reverted back to my dad. And that was 18 months later. He inherited essentially a business that was very different from the one he had built up over a 15-year period. And we now know that the former owners, the individuals he sold the business to who lost the business back to my dad, they burnt his business to the ground and he lost all of his inventory. So we literally went from being multimillionaires overnight to, you know, just struggling to survive and stay in our house. And this went on until I was really through college. You know, that story kind of stayed with me. I lived in mostly poverty or struggled financially for, you know, most of my childhood and into my teens and my early adult life. And then back in 2004, when I took over the helm here of the CPA firm, Serafis & Company, a small business client came into my office. He was struggling financially, and he was trying to get a line of credit from a bank. I couldn't help him at such a last minute, and he couldn't make payroll that week, and he started crying, and he asked me what it was that my successful clients did that my unsuccessful clients didn't do, and why are some businesses, why do they fail? He just wanted to know really what it takes to be successful and what to do to avoid failing in life. So I started doing research on this, and it evolved into a 5-year study on the daily habits of the rich and the poor. I think I interviewed 351 wealthy and poor people, and I asked them about 52,000 questions in total. And then when I was done, I analyzed their responses, and I came up with what became kind of the famous, I guess, in some respects, my Rich Habits research summary. That's kind of how I got into this.
That's an amazing amount of work, you know, putting up 52,000 questions is a lot of work. You've also identified 300 different habits which distinguishes, you know, people who become rich or, you know, people who are poor. So did that derive from the questions you asked from people?
Quite frankly, Rohit, when I was asking those questions, I had no idea that this was leading into the realm of habits. I just didn't even think about habits, to be honest with you. All I wanted to find out was, what do you do from the minute that you put your feet on the floor in the morning to the minute that you put your head on the pillow at night? I just wanted to know what wealthy people and poor people did every single day. So that required asking a lot of questions. And when I was done, I realized I had this sort of light bulb moment, this aha moment. And I said, my God, these are all habits. These are daily habits. So then I spent some time studying habits, how habits are formed, the neurology behind habits. It's a lot of brain science, you know? And I said, my gosh, I think I stumbled onto the holy grail of success. It's your daily habits.
Can you identify, you know, some simple habits of wealthy individuals which listeners can also benefit?
Yeah, I think the most important rich habit is daily self-improvement. You have to be obsessed or become obsessed with improving yourself every day. Now, you can do this. Some of the habits that I found were the wealthy people read 30 minutes or more every day, and it was specific reading to improve their knowledge base in whatever craft or career that they were involved in. And also deliberate practice. They were practicing certain skills over and over again, and they were practicing certain things or trying to improve where they were weak in certain areas in their craft. So they were doing those two things. And then the other thing, I think the third most important thing, was dream setting. They created a vision of their ideal future life. They tried to become clear and gain clarity on exactly where they wanted to be, say 10 years or 20 years out. And then they created a blueprint that would help them get there. And that blueprint was, you know, pursuing certain dreams and then pursuing the goals behind those dreams. The goals are really your construction team for your dreams. And they kept at it for years and years and years. And in my study, the average self-made millionaire who pursued a dream, it took them 12 years to accumulate an average of $7.4 million. So dream setting is a very potent, very powerful, rich habit. And if you find something you're passionate about and pursue it, you're going to have a better chance of becoming wealthier than the average wealthy person.
Most of these people who are rich, were most of them self-employed or they're working in big jobs?
There were really three groups. There were the self-made millionaires who saved their way to wealth. This is the least risky proposition. This doesn't involve taking risks like starting a business or being an entrepreneur. Then there was the second group, which worked for big publicly held companies. These people pursued careers that led them into decision making to become decision makers in their company. And they became wealthy off of stock options and stock compensation. And then the third group were the entrepreneurs, the individuals who pursued some dream or some startup business or some business. And 51% of the self-made millionaires in my study were business owners. So it was a big group of them that were following their dreams of becoming of being an entrepreneur. So it's really three groups.
And that's interesting because you don't have to always start your own business. You can work in a big company and save a lot of money and, you know, invest it wisely to become a millionaire.
As long as you're working for a big company that offers stock compensation, because that's almost invariably how 100% of them became wealthy. They got paid in stock and on in salary, but the stock compensation was grossly disproportionate to the work that they did. So they became millionaires as a result.
That's very interesting. And you also pointed out that a lot of rich people do aerobic exercise for 30 minutes. So was that a deal breaker among, you know, poor people or rich people?
Yeah, that caught me by surprise, to be honest with you, Rohit, because I always had this perception of wealthy people being fat and smoking cigars, you know, and just not healthy. And what I found was the opposite. Most of the wealthy people in my study were in tremendous shape. They were healthy. They exercised 30 minutes or more aerobic every day. Many of them even lifted weights. And when I peeled the onion to find out why, I found out that exercise, particularly aerobic exercise, actually helps improve your IQ and your memory. It helps in long-term potentiation, which is long-term memory. It helps create more of a protein called BDNF, which helps maintain and grow brain cells. It helps increase the flow of oxygen into brain cells, which helps in oxidizing the glucose and the ketones that the brain cells take in. And oxygen also helps scrub the cells clean of free radicals. So whether they were aware of it or not, the aerobic exercise was actually improving their brain performance and making their brains healthier. And as they got on with their careers and their businesses, their brains actually improved.
That's a very interesting insight. And also, you know, a lot of them do listen to audiobooks and they read a lot on the way to work. That's another insight which you'd mentioned.
Yeah, they also listen to podcasts. They watch or listen to TEDx interviews. Their incessant curiosity leads them to do these things. They're curious and they're thirsty for knowledge. So they're looking for venues like podcasts that offer information, interviews of people like myself who are sharing their life's work in 20 or 30 minutes. And boy, isn't that something that you could get somebody's life work without having to read a book. You can just listen to a podcast. So there are many ways to become, to self-improve, to improve yourself. And reading is one of them. Podcasting is another one of them. Going to seminars is another. And actually engaging in those activities. You could become a podcaster. You could write books. Those help you to become better at what you do and shore up your knowledge and things like that.
In one of the blogs, which is called Budget or Sexy, you know, it's mentioned that you had 30,000 failed attempts and 4 successes when you're trying to promote your book. So it was inspiring to see that you're not given up, but you kept going. So can you talk a little bit more about, you know, how you promoted your book and how did you get to be on Dave Ramsey and other shows?
The first 3.5 years were torture. They were what I like to call a walk through hell. I had never written a book before. I had never promoted a book before. And I didn't know anybody who did any of those things. I was forced to learn how to do it through the School of Hard Knocks. And I did what you're supposed to do, what they tell you to do in the books, all the books that I've read. And I've probably read over 30 books on how to become a successful author. And what they tell you to do is to become a good writer, is practice writing every day. So I did that. I have a blog and I keep improving my writing skills every day. But what I found in my experience in this journey of mine is that writing a book is like the first serve in tennis. The rest of the match is all about promotion. You have to become an expert in promoting your book. You have to learn how to pitch the media. You have to learn how to do interviews with the media, you know, talk in sound bites. Yeah, it was something I'm still perfecting that art. You have to essentially get the information out as quickly as possible with the media and as few words as possible. And when you become really good at promoting yourself with the media, then you get more media interviews and that leads to more publicity and that leads to more book sales. I can tell you, this is 100% guaranteed. There is a direct correlation between media exposure and selling books. The best authors in the business are experts at promoting themselves to the media, and they sell a lot of books as a consequence.
You made sales from your first book, and then you followed up with your second book, which is Rich Kids, and then your third book, Change Your Habits and Change Your Life. So is selling books the main way you generate your income, or you also, you know, speaking at conferences or still have your day job with you?
No, I actually have 4 income balls in the air that I'm juggling every day. I have my CPA business, which is a firm that does about $800,000 to $900,000 in revenues a year. I have my financial planning business, which does about $100,000 in revenues. And I have my author business, which now does about $100,000 in revenues. And my new business is the speaker business, which really I kind of began 2 or 3 years ago. And that's evolving. And I don't make a lot of revenue from that. But, you know, the more exposure I get in the media, the more speaking engagements, paid speaking engagements I get. And I charge between $7,500 and $10,000 for each engagement. So I'm starting to make money doing that. And it's difficult to have all these balls in the air. But what I found from my research, I'm just taking a page out of the book of the self-made millionaires. The 65% of the self-made millionaires in my study had 3 streams of income, at least 3 streams of income. 45% had 4 streams and 23% had more than 4 streams of income. So I'm trying to create multiple streams of income, just like the self-made millionaires in my study. And it's doubled my income since I started doing that. And it's made a lot of the worries and the stress that I have go away. You know, the financial stress is it's not there anymore. So that stress isn't as bad because it's unhealthy. And so I have less of that stress. So as a consequence, I'm healthier and my mindset is more positive. So it's a good thing.
What is the way forward? Are you going to write more books? What the idea is to make income from your blog?
My story is still being written right now. I've got 2 books that are going to be published on December 1st in China. I have the 6th largest publisher in the world, China South Publishing and Media Group. They're publishing Rich Habits and Change Your Habits, Change Your Life. I have 3 books being published in South Korea, all 3 of my books. And I have another book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, that was just released in the United States in October. And I just finished another book, Rich Neighbor, Poor Neighbor. And I have other books that I'm going to write. So yeah, my blueprint for my life is to be able to just focus on writing, teaching, and doing speaking engagements. That's what I ultimately want to do. That's the end game for me.
Is there any insight about investments from rich people? You know, because a lot of younger people are investing into newer forms of investments like cryptocurrencies and all. But what was your insight from rich people? Do they invest into riskier assets or do they focus on investments into real estate or stocks?
What I found is wealthy people invest and poor people, middle class people speculate. What's the difference between investing and speculating is investing requires that you do your homework. There's one individual I know who is now worth $3 million. They invested about $20,000 in these cryptocurrencies, you know, one of which was Bitcoin. You know, the other cryptocurrencies haven't paid off, but the Bitcoin has, and it's made him $3 million. So this individual, he studied cryptocurrencies. He studied the industry long before anyone even knew the industry existed. He was studying it. He was interested in it. And he invested in it. Once he had enough knowledge and expertise, he invested in it. And luck finds the diligent and the persistent and those who do their homework. And that's good luck. Bad luck visits those who don't do their homework. And so he got lucky because he did his homework.
That totally makes a lot of sense. You know, let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book?
Well, my favorite business book by far is How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think that's the most powerful book that out there. But there are other books that I really like. There's Talent is Overrated is a very powerful book. And The Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, another very powerful book. I would say those three books, if you read them, you'll get a really good understanding of what it takes to become successful.
If you could go back in time when you started your business, what is the one thing you would have focused on?
If I would go back in time, I would have to go back to when I was starting my sophomore year in college. That's when I decided to pick accounting as my major. I would tell myself, don't do that. Go and switch your major to creative writing or something related to that. Then get an internship writing, become a writer, because this is why it's so important to experiment. If you don't experiment, you never know what you're good at. And it wasn't until I was in my mid-40s that I found out I had an innate talent. I was just naturally gifted as a writer. I did not know that until I was in my mid-40s. So you want to experiment, and I would probably tell myself to go back and become a writer and to experiment. Try different things. Try explore different careers. Don't get stuck in one career because you never know what you're going to be good at. And I think too many of us, you know, we pick one career and we stick with it for our entire lives. And then at some point we are unhappy and miserable because we're doing something we don't love. So you got to find your passion. And the only way to find it is to experiment. So I would tell myself to experiment and to pick up writing because I now know that that's an innate talent that I possess.
That's an interesting insight because, you know, I was a stockbroker and I was miserable at being a stockbroker. And I did, you know, experiment writing books, doing a podcast and doing other things. So, you know, listeners would be happy to know that, you know, even in your mid-40s, you experimented and looked at different options. So that is amazing. And what's your favorite online tool? For example, Gmail or Slack?
I have to say Twitter, even though the investment in Twitter is significant. I use Twitter to pitch the media. And if it wasn't for my tweet pitching, I wouldn't have sold as many books as I've sold. I wouldn't be as a best-selling author. I wouldn't have been successful. I wouldn't have gotten all this media attention. It was Twitter that pulled me out of the cave and put me on the map. So Twitter by far, social media in general, but Twitter more specifically. Facebook is okay. I've, you know, had some success on Facebook, but Twitter is what seems to work best for me.
And how can people reach out to you?
My website is richhabits.net. I put all my research data, all my articles go there first, and many of them wind up in the media, Business Insider, CNBC, Money Magazine, Success Magazine. All of those, I have thousands of articles out there, and they all reside on my blog and on my website. And I do a tip of the morning to you and a tip of the week. And I also have free ebooks that I give out. So it's a heavily resource-laden place to go if you want to know everything there is to know about being successful.
It was a very insightful interview, and I'm sure listeners would learn a lot from this interview. So thank you very much for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Robert, for having me on. And, you know, I hope people get some value out of this.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self Mastery podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.